Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, June 20th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Stocks rally. The 10-year Treasury yield drops below 2% on optimism over Fed rate cuts.
President Trump is said to believe he has the authority to replace Jerome Powell as Fed chair.
Oil surges after Iran says it shot down a U.S. spy drone.
Joe Biden says he's not apologizing for talking about working with segregationist senators while in Congress.
There's not a racist bone in my body.
I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. The Yankees finished the sweep of Tampa Bay, winning 12-1. The Mets lost 7-2 in Atlanta. The NBA draft takes place tonight in Brooklyn.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak, being brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice.
And right now, treasuries are extending gains, the dollar slumping, gold rising. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. It is 6:01 on Wall Street. S&P futures up 25 points, Dow futures up 227, NASDAQ futures up 92. The DAX in Germany's up 1%, CAC in Paris up 0.8%, FTSE 100 up 0.4%. 10-year treasury up 4/32, the yield 2%, the yield on the 2-year 1.71%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.8% or $1.49 to $55.25 a barrel. COMEX gold up 2.8% or $38.20 to $13.87 an ounce. The euro 1.1305 against the dollar. And this data check brought to you by Interactive Brokers. Use an integrated investment account from Interactive Brokers to earn, borrow, spend, and invest globally from one account. Learn more at IBKR.com. John.
And Karen, this strong market reaction follows the dovish tone set by the Federal Reserve. In a reversal of monetary policy, Fed Chief Jerome Powell opened the door to an interest rate cut as early as next month.
Since the beginning of the year, we have judged that our current policy stance was broadly appropriate and that we should be patient in assessing the need for any changes. In light of increased uncertainties and muted inflation pressures, we now emphasize that the committee will closely monitor the implications of incoming information for the economic outlook and will act as appropriate to sustain the expansion with a strong labor market and inflation near its 2% objective.
And again, traders are now pricing in a virtual certainty of a rate cut by July. In fact, 7 of the 17 Fed officials now think it'll be appropriate to lower the benchmark overnight rate by a half percentage point by the end of the year. We spoke with Michael Gappin, chief U.S. economist at Barclays Capital, after the decision.
Well, I think this is about as close as they could come to cutting today. In fact, if 8 of the members are forecasting it, at least by year end, I think you could, it's walking it right up to the point, and the markets will now expect action in July.
And checking treasuries once again, the 10-year treasury up 5/32, the yield at 2.00%, the yield on the 2-year 1.71%.
And President Trump has told confidants as recently as yesterday he thinks he has the authority to replace Fed Chairman Jerome Powell. Bloomberg has learned that the president believes he could demote Powell to be a Fed board governor, but isn't planning to do that now. Yesterday, Powell commented on the issue.
I think the law is clear that I have a 4-year term, and I fully intend to serve it.
Mr. Trump has repeatedly accused Powell of not doing enough to bolster the economy.
And just under an hour from now, we'll get an interest rate decision from the Bank of England. Let's go live to London for the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and John. With the Fed and other global central banks opening the door to policy easing, it's decision time for the Bank of England. And while the BOE is expected to keep its key rate unchanged today, Governor Mark Carney must decide on whether to temper warnings of future hikes. The bank's current mantra that rate increases are needed to control UK inflation puts it at odds with investors who now expect that cuts are on their way. Live in London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Ewan, thanks. In Asia, Japan's 10-year bond futures rose to an all-time high as Governor Haruhiko Kuroda suggested the central bank there won't step in to prevent yields from falling. This after the Bank of Japan left monetary policy unchanged. Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis has more from Hong Kong.
The BOJ opted not to follow the Fed and the ECB on greater readiness to ease monetary policy. Not much of a surprise, though. All 50 economists we surveyed predicted no change. The BOJ said it would keep rates extremely low until at least the spring of 2020, and it will continue expanding the monetary base until inflation exceeds its 2% target. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Brian, thank you. Crude oil rising after Iran said it shot down a U.S. spy drone in its airspace. That's stoking Middle East tensions further after the attack on two tankers last week. Checking oil right now, NYMEX crude oil is up 2.8%, up $1.49 to $55.25 a barrel. Brent up 2.33% at $63.27. We'll have much more on this incident in world and national news in just a few minutes.
And a group of U.S. chief executive officers are in Beijing to meet with China's premier, Li Keqing. As the simmering trade war ensnares companies from both countries, here's Li speaking through a translator.
China will always keep on reforming and opening up, and will continue to open up wider and welcome foreign capital to come to China as the number of uncertain elements in the international economy and global trade continue to grow.
The heads of Dow, UPS, Pfizer, Hyatt Hotels, property developer Prologis, and Honeywell met with Li.
Dell, HP, Intel, and Microsoft are joining forces to oppose President Donald Trump's proposed tariffs on laptop computers and tablets, among $300 billion in Chinese goods targeted for duties. The company submitted joint comments opposing the tariff escalation, saying it would hurt consumer products and industry.
The New York Stock Exchange has set a reference price of $26 per share for trading in workplace messaging app Slack Technologies. Charlie Pellet has more.
Slack is skipping the traditional route to go public through an initial public offering and instead choosing to trade shares directly on the exchange beginning today. Though the unusual method means the company isn't raising new money, it also avoids the costly underwriting fees paid to multiple banks on IPOs. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hey, Charlie, and Deutsche Bank reportedly faces a criminal investigation in the U.S. over money laundering allegations. According to the New York Times, authorities want to know if the German lender complied with laws meant to stop money laundering and other crimes. Some of the transactions being looked at are linked to President Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner. This is Bloomberg.
Thanks, Karen. 6:07 on Wall Street. And let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning once again to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
John, thank you very much. Joe Biden is defending his remarks about working with segregationist senators decades ago. The former vice president told reporters that there's not a racist bone in his body.
The point I'm making is you don't have to agree. You don't have to like the people in terms of their views, but you just simply make the case and you beat them. You beat them without changing the system.
2020 Democratic rival Senator Cory Booker called on Biden to apologize. However, the former vice president says it was Booker who should apologize because the senator should know better. Angry Democrats say they expect to go to court to force Trump aide Hope Hicks to answer their questions. Hicks did not respond to any questions about her time at the White House in a closed-door congressional interview yesterday. President Trump on Fox News says the panel treated Hicks unfairly.
They put this young woman through hell, what she's had to pay for legal fees and everything else. I hear they were taking pictures of her, congressmen, two congressmen in particular that I see on television all the time. I won't mention their names.
Hicks did answer questions about her time on the Trump campaign, which is not covered by executive privilege. Iran said it shot down a U.S. spy drone in its airspace, escalating already fierce tensions in the Persian Gulf. The reported drone downing follows a missile strike by Yemeni rebels overnight on Saudi Arabia. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders says that President Trump was briefed on that incident and was closely monitoring the situation. It may take a little friendly persuasion in the House to move the new North American trade deal toward ratification. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau will be pressing for approval as he visits Washington today. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports.
President Trump might be hard-pressed to find a superlative he hasn't used yet to describe his NAFTA-replacing U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. Both Trump and Trudeau have been enthusiastically talking up quick ratification, but after their meeting today, the Canadian leader will be looking for a reality check from House Speaker Pelosi and Senate Leader McConnell on the legislative outlook. Pelosi has sought sharper teeth for labor and environmental protections.
If you don't have enforcement, you're just having NAFTA again with sprinkles on top or something, but you're not having a new NAFTA.
Mexico's Senate has already voted to ratify the treaty. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 610 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, so much for the Yankees slump. They lost 8 of 11 and dropped out of first place. But in the battle of the top two in the AL East, the Yanks crushed Tampa Bay, sweeping the series at the stadium, winning yesterday 12-1. This game over in the first inning. Gary Sanchez, a three-run homer. And Aaron Boone saw his team put up six runs and knock out last year's Cy Young winner, Blake Snell.
We took everything that he normally gets chases on a lot of those pitches, and because we controlled the strike zone so well, he ends up throwing, I think he threw 39 pitches in that inning, and we got him out of there. Every guy putting on a really tough at-bat against him and wore down, you know, one of the game's best pitchers. It was, I thought, a clinic of our guys kind of just controlling the zone.
Six more in the seventh inning, including a Gleyber Torres grand slam. CC Sabathia was sharp and got career win number 250, so it's a 3.5-game lead as the West leading Astros come to the Bronx to start a 4-game series. The Mets finished a 3-game set in Atlanta. None of the games were close. 12-3 Braves, 10-2 Mets. Last night, 7-2 Atlanta. They got to Steven Matz in the fifth inning. Josh Donaldson broke a 2-all tie with a 2-run homer. The Braves have won 11 of 13. They lead the Phillies by 4. The Phils got swept in Washington. Max Scherzer, 7 scoreless innings the day after he broke his nose trying to bunt in batting practice. No suspense. Who's going first in tonight's NBA draft in Brooklyn? New Orleans won the lottery, certain to take Zion Williamson. There's another one-and-doneer from Duke, like Zion, a lefty, R.J. Barrett, expected to be taken third overall by the Knicks. He's hoping so.
I mean, a lot. As I say, my late grandfather, rest in peace, he was the biggest Knicks fan, and he always told me I played for the Knicks, so, you know, that'll mean a lot for me to play with the team.
Memphis traded Mike Conley to Utah. The Islanders' Barry Trotz named NHL Coach of the Year. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, John, thanks a lot. And looks like a higher open on Wall Street later this morning for the cash open. S&P futures right now up 25 points. That's up 0.9%. The Dow futures up 224. The NASDAQ E-mini futures 94 points higher. This is Bloomberg. And just ahead, after the Fed loses patience, we'll pick apart the central bank's decision yesterday, their policy statement, with Bloomberg economist Yelena Shiletova. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street, and Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The 10-year Treasury yield slid below 2% for the first time since November 2016, and global yields continued downhill as dovish outlooks swept central banks. Fed watchers scrambled to tweak their forecasts. The most extreme was TD Securities, which expects 75 basis points of cuts this year, and 25 each in March, April, and June 2020. And Slack wants to avoid volatility in its debut today via direct listing. The reference price was set to $26 a share, providing a starting point for trading on the New York Stock Exchange. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. Right now, S&P futures are up 25 points. Dow futures up 221. NASDAQ futures up 95. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.01%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.71%. NYMEX crude oil up 2.8% or $1.49 to $55.25 a barrel. COMEX gold up 2.8% or $37.30 to $13.86.10 an ounce. The euro 1.1303 against the dollar. The yen 107.83. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, former Vice President Joe Biden, considered the front runner for the Democratic presidential nomination, is defending comments he made in which he spoke of working with segregationist senators to get things done in Washington. Biden says there is not a racist bone in his body. A U.S. official says that an Iranian surface-to-air missile shot down a U.S. drone flying in international airspace over the Strait of Hormuz. The shootdown is a significant escalation in the tensions between the U.S. and Iran in recent weeks, and it is unclear how the U.S. will react. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Red Sox won, the A's beat the Orioles 8-3, the Nationals won a doubleheader against the Phillies, the Giants lost. The NBA draft this evening, Zion Williamson is expected to be the overall number one pick. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. It is now 6:20 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, and this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Well, Jerome Powell opening the door to a rate cut maybe as soon as July with the Federal Reserve. Let's walk through yesterday's decision from the Federal Reserve with Bloomberg economist Yelena Shaletova joining us here in the studio. She's been very patient, the senior economist. Why didn't they just cut yesterday?
Well, you know, the patience might be lost, but data dependency is still very much alive and well. So I think the Fed just wants to see the data. They really want to see how the latest trade tensions and uncertainty is going to affect economic growth, and only then will they deliver any insurance cuts if the data continues to deteriorate.
They're always data dependent, but the data that's coming up is going to be even more so, more important than usual.
Absolutely. I think the data dependency, since they adopted this approach, has been very much important, but right now it's really key. So anything that comes out between now and the July meeting will be scrutinized seriously by market participants and economists, and it will really show us where the economy is going and what happens to the Fed.
Is the Fed any more in line with the market expectations, that is, for the Fed funds futures, the bond traders?
I think there's a lot of divergency between the Fed, what the Fed is thinking, and what the markets are anticipating. So the Fed is clearly not ready to deliver for rate cuts. So they are kind of leaning towards maybe a cumulative 25 to 50 basis points cut in case things really deteriorate, but not anything like 100 basis point cut at this point.
There's that phrase that comes up once in a while about pushing on a string when it comes to central banks and the effectiveness of monetary policy. Are we somewhere at that point? How do you gauge whether or not the policy prescription is even working? Because I don't know where inflation is.
So look at the market reaction from yesterday. So after we saw a very dovish statement from the Fed, we saw the 10-year yields falling, right? So does it mean that the Fed becoming more dovish is going to help inflation? Not really. So that is telling us just the opposite. So Jim Bullard, who dissented yesterday, he was asked a question just recently, how the dovish Fed, how the interest rate cuts will help the economy. And he suggested that that would mean that people will think the Fed is getting more serious about helping the economy. You know, the action yesterday and basically the market reaction is telling us that the markets are not taking it seriously.
Is there a big divergence among economists as to what kind of growth that we're going to see in the coming quarters?
I think there is a divergence, of course. Some people see economic growth below potential. We are thinking that growth will still be able to get to something like above potential, something like 2.3%.
Okay. So that's not too shabby.
It's not really great, but it's not bad at all. So consumer spending will continue to drive growth. And if you look at the recent data on consumer, you know, you see that it's pretty much strong. You know, retail sales have been strong. We expect a solid print on personal consumption next week. I think the economy will be driven by this major sector, but will it grow like at a very rapid pace? Not really.
This also, focusing on the dollar, sort of a tangential to this, one of the derivatives, the dollar weak, dollar strength, the era of King Dollar might be over. And does that raise for you the specter of, currency wars with other central banks?
This theme is very much alive as well. So I think the dollar will continue to be strong because look at what's happening with other central banks. They are leaning towards more easing. And if the Fed continues to resist, you know, the easing cycle, we will continue to see a strong dollar and the negative impact on the economy.
Okay. Yelena Shalateva, the senior U.S. economist with Bloomberg. We appreciate it. Thank you very much after yesterday's Fed decision. As we look at the futures this morning, they're all pointing to a higher open on Wall Street. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's dive into the price action right now. The S&P futures are up 25 points. The Dow futures up 224 points. And the NASDAQ futures right now 99 points higher. Top story is straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. A post-Fed rally is underway in the global markets. Stocks in Asia rose and U.S. futures and European averages are rising. The yield on the 10-year is under 2% and gold is trading at a more than five-year high. Yesterday, Jerome Powell and the Fed made a dovish shift and traders are now pricing in a certain rate cut in July.
In the weeks since our last meeting, the cross currents have reemerged. Growth indicators from around the world have disappointed on net, raising concerns about the strength of the global economy. Apparent progress on trade turned to greater uncertainty, and our contacts in business and agriculture report heightened concerns over trade developments.
Meanwhile, sources say President Trump has told confidants as recently as yesterday that he believes he has the authority to replace Powell as Fed chairman, but isn't planning to do so right now.
And we'll get our first major economic report since the Fed decision. Economists forecasting jobless claims edged lower last week to 220,000. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice reports.
The data in today's report were collected the same week the government conducted its monthly payroll survey, so look for clues to the larger picture. Bloomberg Economics predicts jobless claims will continue to move sideways. They've increased over the past 3 weeks. However, the four-week moving average remains close to a historic low. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. The Bank of England makes an interest rate decision in less than 30 minutes from now, while the Bank of Japan left rates unchanged. Meanwhile, Japan's 10-year bond futures rose to an all-time high as Governor Kuroda suggested the central bank won't step in to prevent yields from falling.
And crude oil rising after Iran says it shot down a U.S. drone in its airspace. We have Brent right now up 2.2% at $63.20 a barrel. We'll have more on this story in just a minute in world and national news.
Shares of Oracle up almost 6%. The world's second-largest software maker returned to sales growth and gave a forecast indicating the momentum may continue.
And Slack Technologies will start trading today on the New York Stock Exchange via a direct listing.
Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up about 25 points. Dow futures up 215. NASDAQ futures up 92. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. DAX in Germany's up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32. The yield now 2.00%. Yield on the 2-year 1.71%. COMEX gold is up 2.6%, up $35.50 at $13.84.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1302 against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. This news update now being brought to you by Bernstein Medical. Losing your hair? Learn how Bernstein Medical uses your own hair to create natural, permanent results. Explore BernsteinMedical.com or visit their Manhattan Center. Bernstein Medical, a world leader in robotic hair transplants. And good morning once again to Michael Barr.
Thank you, John. Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden says he won't be apologizing for saying the Senate got things done with civility decades ago when he served alongside segregationists. The former vice president says if anyone should apologize, it should be his 2020 rival, Cory Booker, who had earlier criticized his remarks.
He knows better.
There's not a racist bone in my body. I've been involved in civil rights my whole career. Period. Period. Period.
Booker on CNN.
What matters to me is that a guy running to be the head of our party, which is a significantly diverse and wondrous party, doesn't understand or can't even acknowledge that he made a mistake.
Another 2020 rival, Senator Kamala Harris, is also calling on Biden to apologize. Democrats are frustrated after former Trump aide Hope Hicks appeared before the House Judiciary Committee. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The complaint is that she would not answer questions on a number of topics because a letter from the president said she has complete immunity. Democratic Congressman David Cicilline says it does not exist.
The White House issued that letter making a claim of absolute immunity. It doesn't exist in the law. It is quite clear that witnesses are required to answer truthfully questions asked unless a privilege is available. There is no such thing as absolute immunity that prevents someone from answering questions about any subject related to their work.
And the Democrats say they may go to court next to force her to answer. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
A U.S. official says that an Iranian surface-to-air missile shot down a U.S. drone flying in international airspace over the Strait of Hormuz. A Secretary General for the Supreme National Security Council in Iran says it does not matter which country's aircraft crosses our airspace. The leader of an upstate New York sex cult was convicted on federal sex trafficking and racketeering charges yesterday. Family members of some of the women who suffered at the hands of NXIVM founder Keith Raniere celebrated outside the courtroom. U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of New York, Richard Donahue.
His crimes and the crimes of his co-conspirators ruined marriages, careers, fortunes, and lives.
Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg. John?
Michael, thank you. 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashower.
John, C.C. Sabathia's final season on the mound going well. His team's in first place, and he's hit two milestones a month after reaching 3,000 strikeouts. Career win number 250. C.C. only the 14th pitcher to do both. It was a Yankee blowout of Tampa Bay 12-1, six runs in the first inning, six more in the seventh. Gary Sanchez, three-run homer, Gleyber Torres, a grand slam, and Aaron Boone happy for Sabathia.
It's awesome, man. I mean, to come into 3,000, now 250, you know, this is a sport that goes back a long, long ways, and those are numbers that more so than any other sport mean something and speak to his greatness and his longevity.
Yanks now lead the Rays by 3.5. They host Houston tonight. The Astros just got swept in Cincinnati. The Mets lost in Atlanta 7-2. Steven Matz gave up 5. Mets will visit the Cubs tonight. David Ortiz's condition upgraded to good. This while police in the Dominican Republic confirmed that when Ortiz was shot 11 days ago, he was not the intended target. The gunman was going for Ortiz's friend who was sitting next to him, and that the hit on him was ordered by the man's cousin, who's in the U.S., yet to be apprehended. NBA draft tonight in Brooklyn. New Orleans ready to take Duke's Zion Williamson. The Pelicans just traded Anthony Davis to the Lakers, which would make Zion the face of the franchise.
Gosh, who said that? I'd be the face. I think I'd be ready because I just love this game, and I'm a competitor. Whatever I'm doing, I want to win. I think the same for the players that are already there.
Knicks have the third pick, expected to take his Duke teammate, R.J. Barrett. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. Coming up on 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
The beauty industry has come a long way since the days of arsenic scrubs and face creams made with lead. But maybe it hasn't come far enough. Earlier this year, FDA confirmed that asbestos, a known carcinogen, has been found in makeup marketed to preteen girls. Even worse, the agency had no power to force a recall. The cosmetic industry's regime of self-policing clearly isn't good enough. The FDA has long called for stronger powers in this area. Now Congress may be willing to act. The Bipartisan Personal Care Product Safety Act, introduced by Senators Dianne Feinstein and Susan Collins, would give the FDA recall authority over dangerous cosmetics, force companies to divulge their ingredient lists, and mandate limited safety testing, among other things. The bill is not perfect, but compared with the status quo of almost no oversight at all, it's a step in the right direction. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion. Or OPI and go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
Yeah, Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Lawmakers are taking a closer look at counter-drone technology and whether to expand the authority for oversight. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
Congress is considering whether to give the Federal Aviation Administration the authority to manage drones.
The FAA has all these drone pilot programs out at universities and with local law enforcement agencies, and they can't give them the authority to be able to practice shooting down drones or testing technology that would enable them to neutralize a drone that's flying in the space that's not safe.
Bloomberg government Sean Courtney says such authority has been given to the Homeland Security and Justice Departments. Legislation expanding that to the FAA is still likely a year away. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Nancy, thanks. And right now, it is 6:39 on Wall Street. That's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. If your small business relies on technology, collects customers' payment information for online sales, or digitally stores sensitive employee information like Social Security numbers, it's time to consider cyber insurance. A policy would cover you for everything from accidental loss of customer or employee personal information to online hacking, fraudulent wire transfers, and theft of confidential information. It's important to remember your small business could be held liable for a data breach, especially if it can be shown that you didn't actively take steps to protect the data. You can also be found to be negligent if, after a breach occurs, you didn't respond correctly. Well, cybersecurity experts advise business owners to have a response plan. In the event data is stolen, you need to show you tried to reduce harm to the people affected, quickly notified them, and launched an immediate investigation. That is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. 6:41 on Wall Street. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. After the dovish stance by the Federal Reserve yesterday, futures point to a higher open off Wall Street. The rally continues in stocks. S&P futures up 23, the Dow futures up 206 points.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by Inovalon, a leading provider of cloud-based platforms empowering data-driven healthcare for insurance companies, physicians, pharmacy, and pharmaceutical companies. Inovalon, data has a story to tell. Inovalon gives it a voice. Futures this morning are rising. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are climbing amid gains in global equities. Dow futures up 211 points. S&P's gained 24. Well, the Nasdaq futures rise by 91. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.01% after dropping below 2% overnight. Oil is rising. Iran says it shot down a U.S. drone. And gold is up $20 and has broken out to a five-year high. Shanghai rose 2.4% overnight, while European markets are also trading higher, led by gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, initial jobless claims and Philly Fed, and at 10 o'clock, the leading index. After the bell last night, Oracle revenue beat the highest estimates. Shares are up 6% in the pre-market. And regarding earnings this morning, Carnival cut its year adjusted EPS forecast. In other news, Slack debuts today via a direct listing. And wrapping things up, Bright Horizons was upgraded to buy over at Goldman Sachs, while Shopify downgraded to neutral over at CIBC. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over here at Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, former Vice President Joe Biden is defending comments he made in which he spoke of working with segregationist senators decades ago to get things done in Washington. Fellow 2020 Democratic rivals Cory Booker and Kamala Harris are calling on Biden to apologize. Iranian forces shot down an unarmed U.S. drone over the Persian Gulf. Iranian media described it as a spy drone. The U.S. denies Tehran's claim that the drone flew into Iranian airspace. Dominican officials say ex-Red Sox slugger David Ortiz was shot in the back by a gunman who mistook him for the real target, who was seated at the same table at an outdoor cafe. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Red Sox won, the A's beat the Orioles, the Nationals won a doubleheader against the Phillies, the Giants lost. NBA draft tonight. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, as automation claims more jobs, it looks like female workers may be feeling the brunt. While previous World Bank research found that two-thirds of jobs in the developing world are at risk from new technologies, a recent ILO study showed that women will fare worse than men in Southeast Asia, at least. John, about 61% of working women in Cambodia, Indonesia, the Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam are on shaky ground as the robots take over their jobs.
And then there's the robot that does the news.
Well, you're a great robot, though.
Nobody's safe.
Oh, warning, Bill Robinson. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thanks a lot. We 6:51 on Wall Street. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. Time to check what's going on in D.C. And some of the top stories in our nation's capital include the Senate vote on blocking Saudi arms sale. It would be a rebuke to President Trump. And, of course, as Michael just mentioned, Iran says it shot down a U.S. drone as regional tensions soar. And we're seeing that in the oil markets this morning. We are joined for these and some of the other stories out of Washington by our Washington reporter, Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, good morning to you. With the Saudi arms sale vote, when is the vote and how many Republicans will join Democrats?
Well, it looks as though the vote is likely to be today about lunchtime in the Senate. So keep an eye out for that, obviously. It will be interesting to see how it plays out. But it does look as though there will be enough Republican support because the measure has four Republican co-sponsors. So if all of them presumably will side with the Democrats, there are 47 Democrats in the Senate, that would provide enough votes for the measure to advance. And so it looks as though it's going to eke by. And that's also kind of backed up by the fact that Mitch McConnell, the Republican majority leader, has scheduled a vote on it, which he does, you know, not necessarily have to do if it's not going to have the support to advance.
Okay, so the president, what's his stance? Can he just veto this or what?
Well, it looks as though it's not likely to pass with the support that would be needed, the two-thirds majority support needed to override a veto. And so if the president were to veto the measure, then it's likely that the Congress wouldn't necessarily be able to override that. And so, again, that'd be something to watch for in the vote totals today. But I would anticipate that Trump probably won't receive this one pretty well, given that it's rebuking his authority.
And one of those rare instances where Democrats and Republicans are agreeing on something. Our next story, of course, has to do with the drone. Regional tensions are soaring. What's the latest? What do we know about this?
So I think we're going to be looking this morning to see how the White House specifically responds, because what we found out, there were some developments basically overnight, and it looks as though Iran is now saying that that it shot down a U.S. drone in its national airspace. And so I think that what we're likely to see is some speculation today about how the U.S. might respond, paying very close attention to Trump's Twitter feed, whether he responds that way or another way. But this is clearly the next step in what has been really, as you mentioned, escalating tensions in the region, which we saw last week with the attack on two oil tankers near the Strait of Hormuz. Now we're seeing this action by Iran. And so I think that the ball's kind of back in Trump's court, and we have to kind of see what happens here. You know, the administration has been playing down the idea that this could lead to some sort of a military conflict, but the U.S. did send additional troops to the area, and so certainly things are heating up.
And in fact, the president did say words along the lines of, don't worry about this.
Yeah, and so I think that the president, you know, we've seen right along, the president has been trying to downplay the possibility of a conflict, an armed conflict between the U.S. and Iran, but while keeping a hardline tone against Tehran. And so, you know, we know that at least a couple weeks ago he was saying that all options are on the table. And so I think, you know, things could escalate without anyone really having that be the intention. And so that's, I think, the concern that's out there right now.
Okay. And the latest headline on that was that the U.S. is denying Tehran's claim that the drone flew in Iranian airspace. Also making news this morning, Kathleen, President Trump believes he does have the authority to replace Jerome Powell at the Federal Reserve. Sounds like this is a story that's not going to go away.
I don't think it is one that's going to go. I think it's something that we're going to continue to watch very closely. Obviously, Trump is someone who, has shown that he's willing to act even outside of the normal bounds of what's considered proper for a president, and even perhaps legal for a president. We know that he has, as recently as yesterday, been, taking feedback from staff about the possibility of removing Powell as the Fed governor, as the Fed chairman, and moving him down to a governor-only position. We know that he's sought some guidance from staff about the ways in which he might be able to do that and justify it legally. And so I think that's something that we'll keep watching, and certainly potentially after the election, if he's reelected to 4 more years in office, given that we know he's not happy with Powell's performance, I think that's going to be something that we'd like to watch very closely, and something that could have, very far-ranging implications for both monetary policy and, the political landscape in Washington, given that Congress is not likely to respond positively to this expansion of executive authority.
And then there's Hope Hicks giving closed-door testimony and a dispute over privilege. Of course, we're talking about the former White House communications director. So what happened? Was anything discussed? Did she answer everything?
So by all accounts, and we don't know exactly what happened because this occurred behind closed doors, but from all accounts, from those in the room that we have, it sounds as though the White House is sticking to, and the White House via Hicks is sticking to the position that she's not going to answer any questions, that she has total immunity from congressional inquiries into her time at the White House, which certainly is something that, in addition to her time with the Trump campaign, Democrats are interested in probing, and it sounds as though she's essentially claiming executive privilege to not have to provide that information. So this kind of ups the ante in terms of the showdown between Democrats and the White House as the Democrats try to pursue their lines of inquiry against the Trump administration.
Kathleen, always a pleasure. We appreciate it. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. And also a reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
John, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Green Report. And here's Bob Moon.
The Obama-era Clean Power Plan has been weaning the nation's electrical grid off coal and its climate-damaging pollution. So what was the Trump administration's justification for repealing it? While the administration encourages coal use, White House Chief of Staff Mick Mulvaney makes this claim.
Yet our pollutants are going down.
He even went so far as pledging they'll keep going down. But listen carefully to the evidence Environmental Protection Agency head Andrew Wheeler cited as he announced repeal of the Obama plan.
From 2005 to 2017, total U.S. energy-related CO2 emissions fell by 14%. We owe much of this progress to the genius of the private sector and the free markets, not the heavy hand of government.
That means carbon emissions declined until the first year of Trump's presidency. Experts have credited Obama policies and investments for prodding some utilities toward less polluting fuels, and they say Trump's signature policies are likely to eventually increase carbon emissions, not lower them. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
Bob, thank you. Watching shares of Carnival this morning, now down more than 7% in early trading. Earnings crossing the Bloomberg from Carnival. It cut its forecast for the year. Again, shares down more than 7%. Right now, futures are higher. S&P futures up 24 points. Dow futures up 206. NASDAQ futures up 93. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. Yield 2.01%. COMEX gold is up 2.7% at $1,384.70 an ounce. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow is straight ahead. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.